So I'm going to give an outlook on 2015. I think we're about halfway through 2015 already, but I still think it bears talking about a little bit, and then give a little bit of presentation on 2016. You know, fortunately this year, you know, world production is significantly lower than it has been, but world consumption has been a little bit disappointing too. Still, you know, consumption will exceed production by almost 8 million barrels this year. 103, almost 104 million barrels estimated by USDA 2015. For 2015, and consumption around 111 million. So at least we're going to be walking in the right direction as far as ending stocks are concerned. And this is how things have progressed throughout the season. You know, USDA comes out with their initial assessment of the world production and consumption for the following year in May. So we can see that as time has progressed this year, it's gotten progressively better in the favor of trying to lower stocks as we move through the season. 15.4 million barrel reduction in production since from the 2014 crop year. See, China's down about almost 6 million barrels, U.S. a little over 3 million barrels, Pakistan. And surprisingly, that 15.4 million year-over-year reduction in production is the largest, at least in this time frame, going back to 1960. So a huge reduction in production. That sounds really funny, but reduction in production year-over-year. That will help to lower ending stocks. You know, it should put ending stocks just around 104 million barrels, down 7.6 million barrels from this last year. So at least we're starting to work in the right direction. More importantly, world-less ending stocks projected to be world-less China ending stocks projected to be below 40 million barrels for only the third time since 2003. So again, that's working in our favor as we move forward. I think that we've got some room to move even further lower, though. A lot of numbers up here, and I'm sorry for the confusion. The numbers in parentheses are numbers that I think it could be once we move forward. Unfortunately, the number 100.7 here, right next to the 103.7, that should be a different number there. Should be 101.4. I somehow screwed up when I put this slide together, and I didn't notice it until yesterday. But I still think that we've got potentially a further reduction in Chinese production this year. United States could come down even further. We're sitting at just over 13 million barrels. I think by the time it's all said and done, we'll be somewhere between 12.8 and 12.9. Pakistan, the latest projections out of Pakistan is it could come down another million barrels. And India could certainly come down a half a million to a million barrels before it's all said and done. So by the time we get finished with everything, we could be looking at close to an 18 million barrel reduction versus a year ago in terms of world production. It's going to lead us to relatively comfortable ending stocks at 3 million barrels. That compares to a long-term average of 5.6 million barrels. So we're very comfortable as far as U.S. ending stocks are concerned. But maybe ending stocks might not be so comfortable once we get finished here. U.S. export sales have been very slow. We may have to reduce expectations. USDA was sitting at 10.2 million barrels for quite a period of time. In December, they finally lowered it to 10 million barrels, and I think maybe as we move forward, that could come a little lower. These are U.S. export sales commitments as of week 21, which happened to be the week ending December 24th. And we're at the lowest level of U.S. export sales commitments since the year 2000. How low is low? Well, a 40-year average is about 5.6 million barrels. So we're about a million barrels below that. And a 10-year average is about 8.3 million barrels. So we're quite a ways below even a 10-year average. admittedly, we probably had the best 10-year average ever, you know, in the history of U.S. exports, but this goes to show you how far we are below recent history. A big reason for this is the Chinese. They're just not importing as much. This is monthly Chinese total cotton imports into China, going back to 2004. And the red line here is the U.S. exports into China, at least reported by the Chinese. October, we hit a low of only 11,000 bales of U.S. cotton was imported into China. That increased a little bit in November and probably increased a little bit in December as well. We're very, very small percentage of their total market share in China anymore. this is market share over time going back to July of 2004. As you can see, a long-term trend line here is not very encouraging, as the Chinese have opted to go with more competitive growth, such as the Indian cotton, especially over the last 2 to 3 years. Using the past 10 years' worth of data, I think that we could end up being as low as 9 million bales in terms of U.S. exports this year, which means that, you know, U.S. ending stocks may end up having to rise up to 4 million bales by the time it's all said and done. Then again, you know, maybe not. It's still too early to tell. U.S. export sales have been on a real hand-to-mouth. Every time we come down to this 62-cent area like we are now, you know, mills start buying. Unfortunately, every time we bounce back up to 64 to 65 cents, mills stop buying. So they've been on a real hand-to-mouth basis here recently. Again, we could be a little less comfortable, but still exports or ending stocks are still going to be comfortable compared to recent history. You know, who are we competing against? You know, no doubt India is the number one competitor, but heavy stickiness in the northern zone may keep a lot out of the export market. Already there are complaints in India that these ginners like to mix better quality cotton with lower quality cotton, but then sell it as the better quality cotton as they're ginning the cotton. A lot of complaints out of the domestic mill sector there in India, and you wonder how much they're going to get away with that as they start exporting this stuff to their countries, and how much people will complain. It's been very fashionable to talk about machine picked cotton origins due to less contamination concerns, those being the United States, Brazil, Australia, Greece, and Spain. World machine picked cotton this year is going to be around 23 million bales. That's down about 4 million bales from last year and down considerably from 2010 when it was over about 31 to 32 million bales. Again, this is another slide that I kind of screwed up on. If we're going to have a little fun and look for some further reductions in productions out of these machine picked countries, United States down another 200,000. Brazil, I think they've taken that down as much as possible, so that really should be zero. I think Australia could be down another 200,000 bales, and they've already reduced Greece and Spain enough, so probably Brazil and Greece and Spain aren't due any more reduction. But still, you know, a further 400,000 to 500,000 bales in production from these from the United States and Australia, especially, is going to start constraining supplies of the machine picked cotton. Ending stocks without any further reduction in production are estimated at just under 12 million bales, which is the lowest level since 2009. So again, those stocks are working in our favor. Quality may be a problem. Brazil does have an issue with short fiber content. They do have an issue with stickiness. Here in the United States, a percent of tenderable cotton is sitting around 55-56% versus a little over 70% this last year. Greece, you know, rain, they've had a considerable amount of rains in Greece, so, that's going to impact quality in that country. So, not only is production lower in the machine-picked countries, but the quality is a little less as well. summary of these, you know, for now, the quality and quantity concerns seems to be keeping cotton supported between 60 and 62 cents. Slow export sales keeping the upside in check, though, at 65 cents and higher. Believe, though, that as the season progresses, several other attempts to break through 65 cents and stay through 65 cents will eventually take place. The biggest hurdle, though, is a 200-month moving average. It's lying just above 66 cents, sitting somewhere around 66.60 right now, 66.59. I do think that sometime, it probably is not going to happen early. I don't think that we're going to break through this 200-month moving average and move into the upper 60s and low 70s until we get into the summer months. Probably won't happen until sometime between April and September. Why is that? Well, number one, I think the world wants to see what the northern hemisphere gets planted this year, number one. Number two, I think they want to also evaluate what impact El Nino is going to have, potentially El Nino will have on the cotton crop around the world. If El Nino is as bad as it has been in recent history, 1997, 1983, you could see a severe decline in world yields. And if that were to happen, you know, you could get quite an exciting time. I don't know that we'll ever, this next crop year, try to make a break for this gap up here in the monthly chart, but, you know, cotton does have a history of wanting to fill gaps. May not happen this year. It may happen sometime in 2016, but it probably wouldn't happen until we got into the end of the spring of 2016. what about 2016? Excuse me, let me get a drink of water before I irritate everybody, including myself. Thank you. Well, what kind of havoc will El Nino bring to yields this next year? With a mild El Nino, and so far most of my numbers are going to reflect a mild El Nino, I do expect world area to be down 1.5% to 2.5% for 2016. I do think that world production will be up a little bit just because yields should rebound a little bit this next year. World consumption should increase a little bit, but again, because consumption will exceed production for the second consecutive year by a fairly sizable margin, you would expect world stocks to finally fall below 100 million bales, expecting them to be somewhere around 97 million bales. So it'd be the first time since 2012 that we would see ending stocks below 100 million. Of course, El Nino is the big unknown. This is 1997, and on December 28th, what it looked like this December 2015. It was a little bit stronger, but this is the second strongest one since in history for the October, November, December time frame. 2015 actually covers a wider area. I can't remember the exact size. It was something like 6 million square miles of ocean being impacted by this El Nino. The strength, there was some sign the Southern Oscillation Index, SOI, declined a little bit in November and December, and that's making people think that maybe El Nino won't be nearly as strong, but that's not unusual. I've looked at that SOI index going all the way back to 1951, and you can certainly have some periods of relief, if you will, contained within a very strong El Nino. The strength of it will really be determined once we get into January, February, and March of this next year. But if we have a very strong El Nino, as is currently predicted, the Godzilla of El Ninos, you know, again, world area down 1.5% to 2.5%. You think that world production could fall down to 96 to 98 million bales as yields are impacted. World consumption would be up a little bit. And if world consumption goes goes up a little bit, and world production is down. World stocks could drop to below 90 million bales of cotton. So so El Nino is certainly going to make 2016-17 pretty exciting. We should see some pricing volatility. Again, I do think that we will run up, make a run for the low 70s as we move forward. Have a little bit more pricing volatility. Won't be nearly as severe as 2010, but it should give some opportunities for pricing. Again, would not expect much of this to happen early. We're going to have to wait till we get into the late spring and early summertime to see how all this plays out before things start getting exciting, though. Under fairly normal circumstances, my projection for this next year here in the United States, if the plantings increase from 8.6 up to just a little over 9.1 million acres this next year, pretty decent yield. 14.7 million bales in production. If we have a strong El Nino, you could easily be right back at 13 to 13.2 million bales of production this next year. Don't expect to see a large increase in acres, and that's sort of changing on a day-by-day basis. This is just kind of a snapshot. I saw one survey that came out the other day, a little over 9 million acres, so my acreage is a little bit higher. I've seen some acreage estimates as high as 11 million acres. I don't know what those people are smoking, but it'd be great to see 11 million acres. I just don't think that'll happen in 2016, though. So I think we'll see a modest increase as we go forward. But any increase is a good increase. We need to keep our place in the world as far as production and supplying the world with high quality fiber. That would conclude my presentation. Well, except for this last concluding slide. I do think the Chinese production will fall a little bit further this next year, from 23 million down to around 20 million bales. I think Chinese stocks will fall an additional 4 million bales. World-less China stocks will fall from 39 million estimated this year down to 36 million or less next year. Foreign-less China stocks will fall down another 4 million bales, and U.S. stocks remain unchanged at around 4 million bales. Again, that's going to depend on well, a lot of things, obviously, but I do think that if we have a reduction in production of a magnitude, that it'll be difficult to export cotton. Prices will rise, and it'll make it more difficult for us to be competitive in the world markets. But there's nothing here that's suggesting that we're going to be in the tank whatsoever as far as pricing is concerned. So that would be my presentation, and if anybody's got any questions, I'd be more than happy to try to answer them. Yes?
You missed King Pick two or three times there. Is that machine harvested? Do you include strip cotton in that or just pick cotton?
Strip cotton as well. Anything that's harvested. It should be machine harvested. That'd be more proper. Yes? Got plenty of thoughts, but no facts. The rumor mill right now is rife with the thought that they're going to start releasing cotton in February, and the Chinese, actually, the people seem to be putting some pressure on this market right now are the Chinese speculators, at least. That's the theory out there. In fact, what was it, late last week, about 400 of the July 35 puts were traded, and somebody was suggesting that those were the Chinese speculators buying those puts. You know, I looked at it like they were buying a lottery ticket, and it was cheap. And who knows, you know, maybe prices fall that far. They don't have to fall very far for that put to increase in value. So maybe they were just looking to make a quick buck here. If this market just fell 2 or 3 cents, those things would have probably doubled in value. They didn't pay a whole lot of money for them. But 52 million bales approximately is the estimate for the reserves. The speculation is that they could start releasing those in February, and that the prices, you know, they went into the reserves at 19,000 RMB. The initial thought is that they would start selling at around 11,500 RMB, which would be roughly, I don't know, 85 cents, 80 to 85 cents at current exchange rates. So that's a pretty big fall from grace, but they've got to do something to get rid of that cotton. I would think that the quality is fairly poor. I think they've rotated some, and they tried to supplement some of that with U.S. cotton and other foreign growths at times to try to make the overall quality better. But
I get asked that a lot by producers.
You know, they try to hold these carrots out. They'll say, okay, if you buy 3 bales of domestic cotton, we'll let you buy 1 bale of the imported cotton that we've put into the reserves. Yes, sir. Yeah, there seems to be a lot of movement from China into, well, especially Vietnam. Big growth in Vietnam in terms of their spinning industry. You know, the Chinese labor market has gotten, you know, the good news is their economy is better. The bad news is their labor costs have gone up. So they've, you know, that's why they've started moving to Vietnam, at least some of the spinning, and B, they started moving to finer count yarns. They do need a better quality. They do need a better piece of cotton to spin the finer quality yarns.
Do you have any handle on the domestic increase in Chinese consumption?
It's actually been decreasing a little bit. So, you know, what was it, 2011? I think they had a high. They were consuming about 50 million bales a year. They're down to 33 million bales this year. I think it'll continue to fall. Even just moving to the finer count yarns means that your consumption would fall a little bit. So, so that's not, you know, it's going to make it more difficult for them to get rid of their big stockpile if they continue to reduce consumption. I thought I saw a hand up over here somewhere. Maybe not. I didn't want to ignore anybody. Yes, sir.
What do you see for the U.S. export output in the coming crop year?
You know, let's look at it this way. If we produce 14.7, let's just round it up to 15, and we've got 4 million bales in carryover, so that's 19 million bales. You'll need 4 million bales for the domestic use, roughly. So that's 15 million bales. That we would have in available exportable supplies. You know, you'll have to have some little carryover, so I could easily see us getting back up to the 10.5 to 11 million bale mark. If the dollar doesn't get too strong. Yeah, that's what, yeah. All right, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.